Welcome to MLB Daily, your one-stop shop for daily baseball content. I am LJ LaFura. Alongside me, I've got Brandon Karam, and we are a Belly Up Sports podcast. We are what they aren't. Brandon, what a game. What a series.
Yeah, you know, the Red Sox, they take a very commanding 2-1 series lead over the Astros. I mean, we can get right into it here as the game was over pretty much prior to it even starting. The Red Sox jump all over Jose Urquidy in the second inning. I believe it started with, well, actually, we should talk about how for the Red Sox, Eduardo Rodriguez, first two innings looked extremely sharp. Worked a 1-2-3 in the first. In the second, he strikes out the side. Jordan Alvarez, Carlos Correa, Kyle Tucker, three of the best hitters in the American League right there. Just strikes them out all back to back to back. Bottom of the second, I believe Xander Bogaerts struck out to start the inning. Verdugo walk. What was it? JD Martinez double, and then it was Renfro walk. Let's see. Let me pull up the plays here. It'd be easier. Yeah. Okay. Christian Vasquez singles next to drive home Verdugo, and it's 1-0 Boston. Christian Arroyo reaches base on a fielder's choice because Jose Altuve. LJ, what exactly was he trying to do there?
Brandon, I gotta tell you, for starters, there was, I'm not sure if they both counted errors for Altuve tonight, or because I can use the two. This is the one that bounced up on him, right?
I think so, yeah, or in the second inning, yeah.
It basically bounced up and hit him in the chest, and he could not bring it in. Would have easily been a double play.
To get out of the inning.
Gotten out of the inning, but no, instead it just flops right off his chest. They do not get an out of that opportunity.
Next batter is Kyle Schwarber, the leadoff hitter. He hits a grand slam. Red Sox third grand slam of the series. The only team in MLB postseason history to hit three grand slams in a series, and it's only been three games. That makes it 6-0. In the third inning, the Red Sox pile on three more runs thanks to, let's see, they got a Christian Vasquez single after Hunter Renfro stole second and Martin Maldonado made a throwing error. The Vasquez single drove home Renfro. Then Christian Arroyo hits a two-run homer to make it 9-0, and the game was over at this point. LJ, something interesting I saw. So Urquidy goes five outs this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Game two, Luis Garcia gets three outs. Game one, Framber Valdez gets eight outs. And game four was supposed to be the bullpen game for the Astros.
Look, that's the thing that makes me so excited is – Brandon, they don't have any options left. They don't have any
options. They got Zach Greinke going.
No. They don't have any rested options that they truly trust for using as a genuine bullpen, Brandon. Let's pretend they were never thinking about doing a bullpen game, because realistically, what game two forced, it forced their hand into, okay, Zach Greinke, who's thrown 40 pitches in the last month, a month plus actually now, he is now going to have to come out and do a starter's workload. They really don't know what they're going to be getting out of this guy. They haven't seen him. They don't know exactly how long he's even going to be able to go in this game. All they know is he has to do it. But let's pretend that they were always trying to do that and that he was able to get them five. Brandon, I don't see a scenario where this bullpen, with the amount of usage they've had to have over the last couple games, is going to actually feel rested at any point in this series. Like, they're not going to feel like a normal pen over an MLB stretch during this series whatsoever. That's what's exciting. That's almost as exciting as the Zach Greinke stuff. Actually, no, that's more exciting than the Zach Greinke stuff because we really don't know what we're going to get. Game four is going to decide it, not just because it could put the Red Sox up 3-1, but because it's so crucial that he has a great outing. And we don't know if he's going to get – even in the regular season, Brandon, you can agree with this. We didn't always know whether we were going to get lights out Zach Greinke or get shelled Zach Greinke. That could happen regardless of his health. And now you're adding a health element into that, makes this all the more interesting.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, let me just say right now, you're right about the bullpen. They don't have anyone that I like out of the bullpen. I mean, I love, what's his name there? Ryan Pressly, but he's a high leverage guy. Like, you can't have him go six outs. Then that's the thing. Sure, he got tonight off, and should the Astros be in a spot to, you know, up in late innings tomorrow, he might have to go six outs and then be expected to also pitch in maybe game five or six or seven. Yimmy Garcia absolutely blows. This guy is atrocious, LJ. In the six games he's appeared in the playoffs this year, five innings, eight hits, seven runs allowed. I mean, the guy sucks. And they traded for this guy at the trade deadline. Kendall Graveman. Well, what has he done for them this year? I honestly don't know what he's done in the playoffs for them. I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't even think he pitched tonight. So he's an option for tomorrow. Kendall Graveman, he didn't even pitch in game two. So, okay, he's an option.
But that also leads to the question. Kendall Graveman was brought in to be one of your setup guys for this team. He was one of the better closers in the American League in the first half with Seattle. It was a huge issue when they traded him. So why is he not coming in to stem the flow in any of these situations? Do they not trust a guy who was at one point having that great a season?
Well, he has been good in the postseason this year.
Yeah, but that feels like more of an indictment on what the team thinks of him, regardless of numbers, to not put him into any of these weird situations. Like, there have been a number of situations where they've had to make a pitching change because of being in a jam. And the fact that you wouldn't consider putting him in one of those today, or even in game two, knowing that you have the rest day, that seemed a little weird to me.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what Dusty Baker's going to do if a game was to ever go to extra innings in this series. I mean, he's just getting blown out two games in this series. Like, game two looks a lot better on the scorecard because the Astros get those two runs in the bottom of the ninth, thanks to those two just fluke home runs off of Darwin's and Hernandez. They get the two fluke home runs, so it's 9-5, but that game was over for a long time after the two grand slams. Tonight, this game was over after the second inning, after Jose Urquidy, Yimmy Garcia, you know, they get shelled. This guy, Phil Maton, I didn't even know he was on the Astros, to be honest with you. I knew he was on the Indians to start, or he was on the Indians in 2020, barely pitched.
He was on the Indians. He was the trade piece in the, their center fielder. Miles Straw trade.
Oh, got it. Okay. I don't know. You're right. The Astros bullpen is taxed. This Red Sox lineup is just crazy.
Can I refresh the stats here? Because now it's first team to hit three grand slams in a postseason series. It is also tonight we got the 20th homer of their postseason. 20 homers in 8 games.
And the Dodgers had the record, the postseason record last postseason for most home runs. I'm not sure exactly how many they hit. I have to assume the Red Sox.
And they got more games. No matter what, they're going to get more games because they had the full extra round series, right?
Right. So they had to play. Did it go to game three against the Brewers in their little in their wild card series? Yeah. I'm going to check right now. It 2020. Okay, no. So it was only two games, but still they got the extra game there. LJ, I want to talk about Kike Hernandez. Have you seen his OPS for the postseason?
Yes, yes, I have. I look at it when I feel sad.
Can I read off some stats here?
Please.
Okay. So he said 36 at-bats. Only walked once. So he's only had 37 plate appearances. For whatever reason, they refused to walk this guy whatsoever.
Well, maybe the guy behind him might be the issue.
Okay, yeah.
One of the most dangerous lefties on the planet.
So 18 hits, 36 at-bats. So that's a 500 batting average, which, nice. Four doubles, five home runs. So out of the 18 hits he's had, half are extra base hits. Half. I don't know that. I want to look at Juan Soto because I know his slugging percentage was pretty crazy this year. 534. 29 homers, 20 doubles out of 157 hits. So not even close. He's getting an extra base hit one out of every four times he steps to the plate. That is ridiculous. It is insane.
And I'm going to cut in real quick and then you can keep going. But you watch the at-bats and even the at-bats that end in outs, it doesn't feel like an out because he's worked it so well. This guy, he's not really striking out. When he gets down and he's defending the plate, the defenses are some of the scariest pitches you're getting. I've seen very seldom this postseason a ball off that of Kike Hernandez that was not some form of hard hit line drive. It's not always in fair territory. A lot of these are either pulls defending the plate or either down the first baseline, down the third baseline, but they're always in the air. They're always clearly, like, if those were straightened out, they're easily singles or doubles.
So I just looked. In 2020, Juan Soto had an extra base hit. Half of his hits were extra base hits as well. 54 hits, 27 were extra base hits. That's why he had a 695 slugging in 47 games. Kike, a 1.028, not OPS. No, not OPS. 1.028 slugging percentage. And then you look at his OPS for the postseason. It is 1.541. In the CS, in these three games, I believe it's over two. It's like two dot something.
It is 2.027.
In these three games.
Yeah.
I mean, it is insane what he's doing right now.
All while still... Honestly, like I was saying, fully serious, this guy will probably, if he doesn't almost win it, he'll be top 3-4 for the American League center field glove. He's going to be up there in votes. He's going to get votes. He's playing a better defensive center right now than he was all regular season also. And that wows me, not only because that wasn't his original, his like true position coming into the year, but it's gone to the point where you have to keep Christian Arroyo in this lineup. Like, I was talking with people in the hypothetical scenario where we ended up in the World Series, the strictly hypothetical scenario, we go to the World Series. What does this lineup look like? And the agreement was, if JD Martinez is healthy enough to play the field, then Renfro's got to be out of the lineup, which seems crazy. Until you think about the fact that you would be hurting yourself more taking Kike out of center than taking Renfro out of right.
Yeah, Kike Hernandez this season plays 93 games in center, 47 at second, 8 at shortstop, puts up, according to Baseball Reference, a 2.1 defensive WAR. Best by far in his entire career for a full season. Just insane numbers. Great acquisition by Boston. Somehow this guy just completely flipped a switch offensively that he didn't show in 2019 or 2020, and is the hottest hitter on the planet right now, and it's not even close. I mean, tonight he's 2 for 4. Just such a command for the plate. It's pretty insane what he's doing. As for tomorrow's game, the Red Sox send out Nick Pivetta. LJ, I need your thoughts on this, because you had said yesterday, you went on your little rant where me and you couldn't figure out how to count the games. But yeah, regardless of that, you had said that the Red Sox have not used Nick Pivetta in this series yet. So I need to know your thoughts on him starting game 4.
I love it. I have no real concerns with it, Brandon. He has been pretty clearly, he has been the best long innings player on this team this postseason. And he's done it in situations where he didn't expect to be doing it. He shouldn't expect to have to come in to bail out, Eovaldi? No, it was Rodriguez. He bailed out. Hauk bailed out Sale. So he shouldn't have to expect to bail a guy out in game 1. He shouldn't expect to have to carry through the extra innings game in Boston. Like, those were moments that it was kind of panic mode for the team that he stepped up in and showed. I have no issues with him getting this start. Honestly, that's what I always assumed was going to happen, was that they're going to go to 4 men for this series. And that's what they're doing. I trust him going out there. So we'll see. And we'll see how it goes too, because I'm more than willing to bet that Chris Sale will be available out of the bullpen tomorrow. And they'll just take it and they'll just pretend that he was going to be the starter the whole time. They probably got it all mapped out for both occasions is what I would bet. So that if Pivetta doesn't look sharp and they need to pull him early, they can just say that this was Sale's start.
Well, as for the schedule, Red Sox and Astros play game 4 Tuesday at 8, game 5 Wednesday at 5, both of those in Boston. As for game 5, neither starter has been announced yet, as expected. They then take, if unnecessary, after game 5, they will take Thursday off and travel back to Houston for Friday and Saturday for game 6 and 7. In Houston, of course. LJ, shall we preview game 3 of Braves Dodgers?
In just a second, because I did have one more here in terms of history in this. First off, let's start with Eduardo Rodriguez. Great start.
Look good.
What?
I said he looked good.
Yeah. Again, this is back-to-back outings after not looking good at all his first one out. This is back-to-back outings. I'm not going to call this a gem, but, I mean, gem is just a hot, very, very high bar. You're getting a quality start in the postseason. That is fantastic. I am going to be absolutely thrilled with that. And he really, as much as, like, five hits, he really only made the one mistake in this game. That was the 300-run homer for Tucker. So I can't complain with that. I'm pleased with the 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned. But more importantly, Brandon, in the history of Fenway Park, no lefty in the postseason has had 7 strikeouts and no walks. That's the most strikeouts without a walk in postseason history by a lefty at Fenway.
Really?
Yep.
That is crazy to me. I'm trying to think of what lefties the Red Sox have had on their previous postseason runs. Let's see, the 2013 team I don't even know who was on. I mean, so Sale never did it. But we've been through that Sale's not good in the postseason. So Sale never did it.
It's such a thing, too, because, like, guys, we've talked about it before. Guys who strike out a lot of batters aren't very often the guys that aren't going to walk anybody because they throw so many things that are intended. Their intent often is to strike out. So that's what I think becomes such the rarity is the seven strikeouts with no walks.
Mm.
Certainly guys have gotten seven strikeouts, but either way, it's just a mind-boggling number because you think about it, that's 109 years that nobody did that.
Yeah, but also for like 70 of those years, if you struck out more than five guys, you were considered like an absolute god on the mound. So
still.
No, yeah, very impressive. Very impressive for Eduardo Rodriguez and looked very good doing it. Absolutely. I'd be very happy with the start. He certainly got to settle in after the grand slam, but that doesn't mean anything, especially against this offense that he's facing. Jose Altuve, just terrible stats so far this series. Michael Brantley has not picked it up. Alex Bregman not picked it up. The only guy who's really been playing good, Kyle Tucker looks pretty good. Yuli Gurriel, pretty good. Carlos Correa, the first two games was good, except for tonight. Yordan Alvarez, I love the guy.
I do have to, once again, give props to Alex Cora for going about, you're going to cringe when I say this, but you have to admit, Alex Cora has been the best handling one of the stuff in Houston out of the group of them. He's handled it the best. But overall, I think certainly he's put an emphasis on doing it the right way since the very contentious or negative way that Eduardo Rodriguez gets off the mound, he gets Carlos Correa to pop up to end that sixth inning and starts doing the same watch tap that Correa did on the on game one. And Cora wanted none of that. So props to him. There's the right way to do it. Not only should you not be poking the bear in the postseason, that's just not a wise idea because momentum can change so quickly. But it's just, it's wrong. It's poor sportsmanship.
No, it is. And I'm fine with it being like when Carlos Correa does that celebration after hitting a homer, like I'm fine with that. Like guys celebrate. The imitation part, I think, is why Cora was so mad. Yes, it's like, yes. You can do your own thing coming off the mound. Just don't make it so blatantly that you're copying someone else.
Yeah. And, honestly, it's not a bad response to it. It's just not the best response.
It's not the time there. If it's to win the game, I mean, I'm doing that 100 times.
I just think there's a level of respect. I think you have to, if they're not holding it up, you have to.
Oh, one last thing I wanted to bring up because I saw it today. LJ, you want to know the offenses that had the lowest ground ball rate in baseball this year?
Sure.
The Giants, Braves, Dodgers, Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Astros. I want you to think about that. Those are the best offenses in the league. Maybe, just maybe, hitting the ball in the air works. Just a thought. Just a thought.
It's also about, yes, but at the same time, you can't just have any. As a person who has covered in detail short season A ball baseball, just hitting in the air is not enough. There's a difference between hitting in the air and hitting in the air the right way. And that's how you get such frequent hitting in the air is because you're going about it in the right way. I don't mean to rub salt on the wound, but the name I was definitely expecting to hear in there was at least the Yankees. Am I entirely wrong with that? I mean, I know they ground into every double play possible, but I was kind of surprised to not hear that name on that list.
The Yankees sit 12th in ground ball percentage, so right around league average.
Wow.
However, something very quick I wanted to bring up. LJ, have you seen this thing about Raimel Tapia's ground ball percentage this year?
Wasn't it at like 60% or something like that?
Okay, so he had a ground ball percentage of 67.4%. The second guy was Eric Hosmer at 55.5%. And this is for players that qualify. So it's not like this is a small sample size. He literally qualifies for the leaderboard. Yeah,
he played, I don't know how many games, but like it was
a lot.
He was a staple of that lineup.
So he was just smashing the ball into the ground 2/3 of the time. I'm pretty sure it's the highest ground ball rate ever since 2007. If I do split seasons here, I can see.
And Brandon, while you're splitting seasons, I want to also put this into context. He played 133 games to get to that 67%. And despite putting the ball into the ground 67% of the time, he finishes with a .273 batting average.
And a .300 BABIP, which is crazy. So I just split it all the way back to 2000. All right, I just sorted it. He has the highest. I don't know how far the stats go. It looks like 2000. Oh, okay. It goes all the way back to 2002, it looks like. The highest since at least 2002 by 0.5%. It's just not even close. He just blew it, everyone out of the water, which is crazy to me. So a name I see on here a lot is Derek Jeter. I mean, since 2000, he's got 5 of the 30 highest ground ball rate seasons.
And what does that compare at his position?
I see Ichiro, he's an outfielder. Luis Castillo, who's a second baseman. Tapia's an outfielder. Ben Revere was an outfielder. Christian Yelich, outfielder. Wilson Ramos, catcher. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, catcher. A lot of catchers, or a lot of like outfielders, actually.
Are you seeing anybody at his position?
Skip Schumacher, was he at? He was like second base and outfield, I guess. Yeah, no shortstops.
Wait, you're saying Derek Jeter is a shortstop?
Oh,
geez. For a shortstop, like he didn't stop much.
It's like saying Rafael Devers is a third baseman. It's the same thing.
Stop is in the name. You gotta stop the ball.
You're right. Okay. I'm not arguing with this tonight. I just can't. Not tonight. All right. Previewing Dodgers Braves. So we talked about the game time yesterday. Game 3 is at 5:08 p.m. Eastern time. So 2:08 Eastern time, LA time. LJ just had a very strange reaction to something on his phone. Care to share?
Okay. I just happened to see this. This is like breaking news for Red Sox lore, because there's been an inside joke going around. It was actually curated by the place that curates all Red Sox culture jokes, Section 10 podcast, that Brandon, if you know the area, you'd see that this is kind of spot on. But if Kyle Schwarber were to actually be a native, he 100% fits the vibe of the city of Waltham. And so they've been calling him Kyle from Waltham for many weeks now. And a lot of people have like latched onto it, because when I tell you he fits the vibe of somebody from Waltham, he actually does. Well, tonight in the post-game presser, he wore a Waltham Hawks Athletics t-shirt to the post game presser. I can't believe it.
That's pretty good.
This is amazing. This is the best news I've heard today.
Well, the bad news is tomorrow at 5:00, no matter what you're doing, we will be tuned in to Dodgers Braves. Just pretty bad timing for, we talked about the West Coast timing, how it's 2 p.m. local time there. We have a fantastic pitching matchup. Charlie Morton versus Walker Buehler. A must win for the Dodgers unless they're trying to pull some 2004 Red Sox magic here. Dodgers really need this one.
They will, though. I think you're forgetting the fact that this is Atlanta. You're remembering that they're playing Atlanta, right?
I did bring it up last night. I said it's an Atlanta sports team, so you just need to like expect that the worst will happen.
It's amazing. It really is. Also, that reminded me of another point to how good Erod's start was tonight. Brandon, did you realize that is the longest start of this postseason?
Out of any player?
Out of any player, either league.
No one's gone six innings?
No one's gone six innings.
Not, you know, that's surprising, but also like...
Who would you have actually said was going to go six?
Did Scherzer not go six?
Scherzer didn't even go five.
What about when he struck out like however many guys in game four against the Giants?
I could be wrong, and it's just the American League, but it makes.
What game did like Scherzer go off? Was that game one against the Braves?
I don't think Scherzer ever went off.
Yeah, he had like 10 strikeouts in one of the games. Game three. It was game three against the Giants. He went seven innings.
It must be the AL then. Okay. Because I was just looking back and the Atlanta Milwaukee starters went seven once and six a lot.
Still in the American League, that's impressive when you consider the starting pitchers that have pitched. I mean, we're talking Chris Sale, Garrett Cole, obviously well, not.
It's not Nathan Eovaldi's fault. He goes seven easily if it weren't for Jake Odorizzi's grand adventure that everybody got taken on.
Regardless.
In the sport.
I mean, I don't think it's out of the question that we could see Charlie Morton, if he's rolling tomorrow, let him go that far. I mean, if you can go up 3-0 and you then for game four, you're presuming the Braves can throw Freed, right? It'd be Freed for game four. I'm letting Charlie Morton go as long as I can. If I can take a 3-0 series lead, are you kidding me? With my ace on the mound the next day. I am so excited for this pitching matchup. I love watching Walker Buehler pitch. He's going to be really good for a long time. And Charlie Morton has been really good for a long time. They both have postseason experience. Both teams, like this series, and I was really excited for Astros Red Sox just because of like the star power in their series. The Braves and Dodgers, they just complement each other so well, I feel like. Regardless of how many games each team won in the regular season, LJ, imagine if Acuna was healthy for this series.
Oh. Well, I just really appreciate the fact that Jock's going off, too.
Yeah, like it's almost like he's filling in. He's just filling in perfect for him.
Yeah, and it's like Jock's going off against the team that didn't want him last year, that flat out chose – like, honestly, that, I think, now, I don't think it's the primary motivation for Kike and Jock, but, like, they were the two big pieces that walked after last year's World Series win. And they both watched as Justin Turner got a huge bag, Trevor Bauer got a huge bag, even though the team was already over all those luxury tax thresholds. So this team, they know that this team did not care about spending money, but they weren't going to spend it on them. That I think could be a really strong narrative with Jock Peterson in particular, that he kind of wants to make him pay a little bit. Why wouldn't you want to make him pay a team that didn't value you enough, you feel?
I agree with the Jock Peterson part. I'm going to have to strongly disagree with Kike
Kike does not make any.
With the Kike part, yeah.
No, I agree. That's not the – I think it's hilarious that both of these guys are popping off, particularly Kike is just setting the world on fire for a team that isn't the Dodgers for the first time. This is like his first time he's broken out like this in a postseason, and if he did this, they definitely have more than one ring.
You know, Jock Peterson low-key could have gotten World Series MVP last year. He was 4-for-12 in the series with a home run and 3 RBIs. Championship win probability added 12.7%. Like, he could have gotten it. And he had a terrible regular season with them, but he stepped up in the playoffs big time when it mattered. They would rather have Chris Taylor, AJ Pollock, and whoever else they're rolling out there in the outfield, Steven Souza Jr. off the bench, when you could have a lefty bat and Jock. You know, LJ, that's a great point there.
Like, they obviously did not care about spending money, but he wasn't the money they wanted to spend. It amazes me right now. But who won the MVP last year?
Corey Seager did.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Let me see what his championship win probability added is. I love this. Okay, yeah, his was 25.9%. Never mind. Never mind. 8-for-20 with 2 homers, 6 walks. Yeah, no, he definitely should have got it. Future Yankee, or excuse me, 2022 Yankees starting shortstop, Corey Seager, that is, which we'll get into, but, you know, it's...
Are you sure that Francisco Lindor won't be starting for you guys on opening day next year? That would be one of the most amusing trades I've ever seen. If that's the one that finally breaks the gridlock of trading between the Yankees and the Mets, if that's the big blockbuster trade they make.
Well, the fact that the Yankees are
desperate to get a shortstop that they're willing to take on that contract.
The fact that the Yankees and Red Sox made their first trade since like the 90s for freaking Adam Ottavino.
I've been trying not to give you shit about this, but I've been laughing over it for the past couple of days. You realize it was blatant that the Yankees made that trade. They paid the Red Sox to take Adam Ottavino's salary. Prospects, I'm meaning.
They
incentivized taking that contract, paid them to take this contract off their hands. Because you wouldn't do that if it was a team that you actually saw as a threat to contend you, to dethrone you. And now that team has Adam Ottavino in the ALCS. We don't particularly want to use Adam Ottavino in the ALCS, but we have him there.
I think that's why the Yankees got rid of him, is we had enough guys in our bullpen who we were confident in. It was just like, you know, Yankees bullpen always figures it out. And the thing with Ottavino is when he has to face a left-handed batter, LJ, I'm sure you would notice this year. It's bad. Yeah. He cannot get a lefty out to save his life. Righty, he's Pedro Martinez against the righties. And I don't even know what to use for lefties. That Randy Dobnak versus lefties.
Randy Dobnak. I forgot about him. I think what killed him this year in particular was you add in that peripheral that, like, he can't really do much against lefties. And he was clearly our second best reliever on this team through mid-August. Like, it felt very clear to me. And then when they finally decided to move away from Barnes, because that was blowing up, they went to Ottavino, and then all of those same things kind of flashed up, and that really is what tanked his season, because he hasn't been the same since they gave him that brief stint in the closer role.
I just, oh my God, LJ, in September, you mean to tell me this man in 13 games he appeared in allowed a 203 OPS plus? What the hell happened?
Yep.
203? How?
The scariest part, and again, that's what, let me remind you here, Brandon. This was year two of the rebuild. Like, all right, unless you're saying that last year was takedown, this is year one, this is the first step back. The bullpen isn't at full depth that you were expecting to get to this point with. No. And so it should be slightly concerning, although he has not pitched bad in the postseason. So I can give him that. It should be slightly concerning that he is the second guy you take off this team. The rotation of the back spot is Matt Barnes and Darwin's and Hernandez right now. I don't particularly want either of them there. I would not be upset if Adam Ottavino wasn't there, but we just don't have anything to replace.
And it's crazy because the Red Sox overall as a pitching staff were not good this year. Their ERA was right around league average. They had one of the worst whips in the league, but they strike guys out. Sure, they allow hits and they allow walks, especially the bullpen, but they get outs when it matters, and that's all it comes down to. They were still able to get 93 wins in the regular season with this half-assed bullpen that they put together. You figure, LJ, I'd have to figure in the offseason, you guys are going to be spending money on relief pitching, right?
Yes.
It's like that's like an absolute need.
Yes, the plan this offseason is get back the two hitters, because you don't really, get back the three hitters. You don't have to add anything there, just retain, and then go out and find relief, the back end of that bullpen.
What about Eovaldi? Do you re-sign him? Like, what's the deal with him? Because he's going to want a lot of money.
I don't think you do. I don't think re-signing guys or extending guys is ever priority number one on a offseason.
But he's a free agent.
No.
Yeah. Right? Or no, why does Fangraphs have it set to 2022 now? What?
No, I was going to say, Eduardo Rodriguez is the free agent.
Okay, so you still got time. JD is... still got another year. Okay. So
you're not getting that money anywhere else this summer, this winter, because of all, especially with all the CBA stuff.
He can opt out if he wants to though, right?
Yes. Yes. He can opt out. He's not getting that money anywhere else. He's here.
Unless so, there's a salary floor, he could get that money somewhere else.
It's a matter of getting Schwarber back, getting Renfro back, getting Iglesias back. And then the rest of the focus should be put on the pitching.
No Danny Santana love. Come on. No Danny Santana love. No Hansel Robles love. You guys don't even have to pay anyone a lot in arbitration except for Devers, really. I mean, Renfro is only on his second arbitration where he'll get like a good amount, but nothing crazy. Verdugo is not even eligible for arbitration or he'll arb one, I think.
I think it might be arb one because he had like one, he had like 2.5 years with LA.
Dahlbeck, Whitlock, Houck, Darwinson, all still pre-arb. So, wow. Okay. This is scary. Okay. Yeah. Red Sox are set up to look really nice. Yanks aren't. I hate baseball.
I think that's a good spot to end it.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to recap game 4 of Astros Red Sox, game 3 of Braves Dodgers. But until then, we'll see you.
See you, manana.